I'm Michael. I'm the area website guy. A lot of you know me. More of you know Deborah, our area chair, who's agreed to an interview with some questions on what she does, who she is, and I'll say that having lived in four different areas in sobriety, New York, Florida, Utah, and now here, and been in service in all those areas, I could say that you are, along with your predecessor, Tommy, easily the hardest working and most engaged delegates I've had the fortune to know. And a good example of that is that I sent you the idea to do this 3 or 4 days before our August budget assembly, and even realizing that with the exception of maybe the chair, you're easily the one who's got most buried and slammed with stuff to do right before the assembly, and you didn't hesitate and agreed to do this. And in fact, this is being recorded the day before, less than 24 hours before the budget assembly. So that says a lot about you, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that will appreciate having the opportunity to hear some of these things from you. Do you want to say anything by way of, hello?
Good morning, Michael. Thank you so much for this opportunity. This is a fantastic idea that you've come up with, and the entire idea of a corner, a page, you know. And so,
if I'm not mistaken, that was your idea. You came to me.
I did think about it.
I'd love to take credit for it, but I think that was your idea. But,
thank you. And so, I'm honored to do this with you, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. I'm the beneficiary, so thank you. With that, why don't we jump right in? So there's not a lot of fluff for people to have to fast forward through. I had put together a list of, I think, five questions from talking with people in my district, District 12, and some thoughts of mine and just being in service for a while that seemed like a good way to start this Delegates Corner. First question. Most of our service area members understand the delegate's role, but for some GSRs, alternates, and other members, they only have kind of a vague notion of what the delegate is, that they represent us to world service, but beyond that, don't really have a clear sense. Can you explain to us what the duties and functions of your role is?
Right. Well, thank you for that question. And first, I want to just say, qualify myself. My name is Deborah. I'm an alcoholic, and it's an honor to serve as area delegate for panel 75, aka 2025 and 2026. So again, thank you for that question. I think based on my experience thus far, the functions of a delegate and the duties are consistent to the outline in the service manual. And as well as our area structuring guidelines. In our area structuring guidelines on for panel 75,2.6 of the on page one, and it says that the delegate should read and adhere to the delegate's duties outlined in the AA service manual, which are outlined on page 32 of the AA service manual for 2024 through 2026. Serve as a voting member on the Oahu Intergroup when invited. Appoint the standing committee chairs in conjunction with other area officers. And that's the three bullet points in our structuring guidelines. If I move over to the service manual and I tell you that, they have about two pages of it, two pages, and about a half a page of the second page talks about the qualifications. Mm-hmm. And in addition to the annual conference meeting, which is my primary purpose, is going to the annual general service conference. It says that
You want to just mention real quick what the general service conference is?
Yes, it's that annual meeting that happens every year in the state of New York. Mm-hmm. And it happens usually around April And it's where, and also it's where we discuss all the conference members who are in fact voting members of the conference come together to discuss agenda items that were put forth by the members of Alcoholics Anonymous in different, you know, different circles, but nonetheless, it comes from the top of the triangle, makes its way down to the bottom. Then we discuss it at the annual General Service Conference, and then it's sent back up to the members. So yes.
And it's your responsibility to take that and represent us to the General Service Conference.
Correct. So it is my responsibility to attend the General Service Conference. And it does say in the service manual, quote unquote, fully prepared. And so, and usually immediately upon election, and it is my experience, all of the information, they're called agenda items. Prior to an agenda item, it's called a preliminary agenda item, which are agenda items submitted to the General Service Board for consideration to be discussed at the annual General Service Conference in New York.
What might some of those, what sort of things are agenda items?
Okay, well, one of the agenda items says, I'll take it straight out from this year, is one of the agenda items for the International Convention and Regional Forums is to write a new declaration for the 2030 convention, and another for the international convention was to consider having all First Nation flags at the ceremony at the convention. That is in consideration. There's some work that needs to be done. They think it's a great idea, but how many flags are we talking about, and how long will it take? Those are true agenda items for the International Convention and Regional Forums.
Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry to keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
No, not at all. So those are a couple of true examples of an agenda item. And then one of the bullet points here, which is actually one of my initiatives for panel 75, is help the area generate greater interest among AA members in serving as GSRs and DCMs in area positions. Inspire greater participation in area assemblies and other activities among GSRs and DCMs. And in my service manual, I have highlighted the name of a past delegate who, as a matter of fact, is part of another question that I'll answer, and that really inspired me. And that what inspired me at that time was that I didn't have to come fully qualified, that I could come here willing to do the work and open to learn what it was to do the duties and responsibilities.
And I got to say, your willingness is apparent. Everything I've ever asked you or said to you has been taken with just open consideration and enthusiasm, which brings us to our next question. For some of us, excuse me, the position of delegate seems like something that, you know, somebody, AA standard bearer does, and not something that we would even know how to do or feel like we're qualified to do. Can you give us a 5-minute version of your journey in service and how you got to be Hawaii's delegate?
Oh, my, thank you. Great question. in the summer of 2012, our home group GSR, my home group TYG at Kailua Beach, she got her God job, and that's where it started. So she had the home group members had set out to look for somebody who might be able to stand in as the interim GSR from September until elections in December, before the rotation took place in 2013. And two people in our home group mentioned, we think that you said, we think you would be good at this. And I thought, okay, let's see. Well, I read the letter from the GSR that was stepping down. Everything that she had done thus far, the year and a half of that panel, and I became the interim GSR from September to December. I went to my first assembly, which was the which was the elections assembly for Area 17 for panel 63's rotation, 61's rotation. Mm-hmm. I loved it so much. I thought, you know, point of order and pull from the hat and discussion and 2 minutes at the mic. That was my first experience. And then I got to attend my, the person who, one of the persons in my home group, my, one of my home group members said, you know what, I'm going to, why don't you meet me tonight? Meet me at the church and we'll go to the district meeting together. Mm. She literally opened my door and put her arm in my arm and walked me into the district meeting. And I thought, okay, I think I can do this. In December, I stood for GSR for panel 63 for TYG, Kailua Beach. I served for panel 63 as GSR. And in panel 65, I stood for DCM for District 4, Windward Oahu. And then my service sponsor, you know, who has been following me through the, with me through this, says, well, if you're not, you know, if you're open and willing, why don't you stand for secretary for the area?
If you're willing, voluntold.
Yeah. And, you know, and he was really, he really stressed that you, if you know, if you're willing and able, offer yourself. Don't wait for somebody to ask you. Offer yourself and let higher power give you the position that, you know, that is meant for you to have. And I was Area 17's area secretary. After that, panel 67, I was alternate chair. 69, I was alternate. I was the area chair. And then I went on to become alternate delegate. And here I am in 75. I am the delegate. So I think I just got my panels off. But I have been in service, in general service, for Hawaii Area 17 since 2012. Wow. And it's such a privilege, and I'm hooked, you know. I got that fish hook in my mouth and I love it. And I want to just say that in my first, the year that Hawaii Area hosted PRASA in 2013, my very first PRASA, I said to myself, oh no, this is a lot. And would you know that in 2026, Hawaii is hosting PRASA. And it is like a full circle. I started off as a GSR with the PRASA, and I will rotate out with a PRASA here hosted in Hawaii. And that's my journey in a nutshell. And I've loved every bit of it. And my service sponsor, Dave E, has certainly been an intricate part of my journey. My home group members and everyone that I've served with, because I serve the fellowship, and that was, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
And you're a great example of that service from the heart. I'm glad you mentioned your service sponsor telling you, don't wait to be asked. Make yourself available, step in, and take the initiative, which you clearly do. Okay, let me get to number three. Even though we may not be aware of all the details of the delegate position, most of us know and can see that it's very involved, a lot of moving parts, a lot of time commitments and travel. You know, wherever you are, you're going to end up traveling to at least three other neighbor islands. In spite of that, your levels of enthusiasm and engagement and energy are immediately apparent every time you speak. How do you maintain your enthusiasm when it's so much, you know, some might think of it as an overwhelming amount of stuff, and the weight of it is tremendous? How do you maintain your enthusiasm?
Well, thank you for that observation and that question. You know, and I really, I personally understand that, that function that I think all, you know, delegates with their workload, just in their service position, you know, the the weight that it could carry. You know, we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our space, our spiritual maintenance, our, you know, our condition. And I want to tell you that it's, I believe that I stay right in the middle with my higher power. And it is through that energy and through that help that I'm able to suit up and show up. It is by far, it's not me, but I do understand. I do believe that faith without works is dead. You know, I don't sit there, wait for God to just like my higher power to just say, here you go. Here's a drop of energy. Go for it. I start my day off with prayer and meditation. I remember all the things, you know, I do a POA even 15 years later, I do a plan of action, and I follow through with self-care. Those are the first really basic things. And and without fail, those things in my everyday life has enabled me, ensures that I can suit up and show up with enthusiasm. As a kid, my mom used to tell us, you might be, if you're having a bad day, put your best foot forward because God's going to make sure you get through the rest of it. And it's, in other words, it's like being in, it's like sobriety. They say act as if. I've never found to have to act as if in the deepest sense of I'm in a bad place and I'm just going to, at least I don't, you know, I don't consciously think of it, but I do know that I will make sure I walk out the door with my lipstick on. And my higher power in my front pocket, let's go. And because, you know, we will have trials, we have challenges, but I am responsible in any position, any service position, we are responsible to be that attractive, trusted servant, because I believe it's our responsibility, and that's how we attract other people to want to do it. And I fully rely on my higher power and that idea, that conceptual idea that our daily reprieve is contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. So I do my utmost best to stay spiritually fit, and be the best person I can be that I'm intended, not for me, but for those that I can cross paths with on a daily basis.
That's awesome. And the way you said that, the best person you'd be, you know, I've often heard in meetings, oh, I don't know what God's intention for me is. Personally, I feel like I'm crystal clear. It's to be the best person I can be and help others to do the same. And the way you put that is very good. Along with stepping outside with God in your pocket. So, I mean, that's the visual is striking and clear to me. In fact, I'm probably going to steal that. So, and if you're not in the room when I say it, it came from me, you know. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. We see you and get to hear you at our assemblies. But many of us don't know you outside of those assemblies, especially if we're in excuse me, different areas or districts. Can you tell us just a little bit more about you?
Sure. Gosh, you know, outside of service, you know, I wear other hats. You know, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a grandma, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a co-worker, I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I should say I'm an active mom. I'm an active wife. I'm very involved in all the things that I just mentioned. And one of the things I thoroughly relish in is being with my family. You know, I love having them over. I like feeding them a good meal. I love sitting there and chit-chatting. And I think food is good for the soul. Laughter is good for the soul. And I think relationships are important. And And that's me. I mean, outside, I mean, if I'm not doing something for Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm doing something for my family. You know, at work, I'm the event coordinator here at my work. So I'm constantly planning corporate events. I pay for
Why does that not
overhead.
surprise me?
You know, I do overhead for my office. I really enjoy. You would not guess this, but if you came to a craft fair and you saw me sitting in there with my ware for sale, I love, enjoy crafting shell and sea glass mirrors. It's beautiful. It's like heaven when you look at it. The sun raises on, you know, hits it, and it just. So that's one of my hobbies is making shell glass mirrors with beach glass mirrors.
My wife collects sea glass.
Love
uses
it.
It as part of wind chimes. Very cool.
Yes, yes, and cooking. But I do love to eat as much as I love to cook. So.
and for whatever reason, the gods bestowed their favor on you. You don't look like someone who enjoys. I enjoy eating, and it's very apparent just looking at me. So, you know, you've been blessed many ways. All right. So, last one. You do a lot of communicating to us through email, at the assemblies, et cetera. One of the things you've already mentioned, which struck me and has been percolating in my head, is the need to instill some of that enthusiasm and desire to be involved in service in other members. If there's the one universal issue I hear with service, and having lived in different areas, I could tell you it's identical everywhere I've been. Is that it often ends up being the same people who do the work. And the result of that is often we get burned out and leave service. It's so important to bring people in. I'm sure I could say it's the same for you. Service has enhanced my sobriety 10,000-fold. I would not have the same life if I wasn't involved in service, and not just because of the particulars of the service position, but that it keeps the service mentality and humility front and center all the time. Is there anything you would want to say to people outside the just stuff that you would want to add to all of this?
Sure, that's yes, a resounding yes.
Did you get muted?
Oh yes, I
no,
yes
good.
I did. Oh, I'm so sorry. So you know, in my service commitments, or just being in service, in addition to everything that I've learned, regarding the three legacies, the principles, the spiritual conceptual ideas behind the principles of the three legacies. In the big book, it says that we believe, in concept one, it says that therefore we believe that we see in our fellowship a spiritualized society characterized by enough enlightenment, enough responsibility, and enough love of man and of God to ensure that our democracy of world service will work under all conditions. And it says that we are confident that we can rely upon tradition two, which is our group conscience, and its trusted servants. Hence, it is with a sense of great security that we old timers have now fully vested in AA's General Service Conference the authority for giving faith through the labors of its chosen delegates, trustees, and service workers to the destiny that we trust God in His wisdom is holding in store for all of us. And that's on page C5 of Concept 1. Just that, and I've been mulling over that. I'm not mulling over because I want to understand it, but because I want to formulate something that I can pass that along every time we talk about us members, who we are, what we are to other people, and it's described, you know, characterized by enough enlightenment, enough responsibility, enough love, and then under any conditions, you know, we will get through anything. And coupled with and I, in order to see that, which brings me outside of you know, something external to being a delegate, our delegate, or any in any service position, is the idea that I hold responsibility as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and via through the steps, through the first legacy. In order for me to have the buy into and have say, I can say, I've come to believe in the traditions and I've come to believe in the concepts, is that I have to have come to believe my responsibility to self in my sobriety. And my, you know, it says that we will be of maximum service. So that I would take and buy and say, I've come, not just come to believe in it, but buy into it and do it. And that with that, I have coupled in my personal recovery, the four agreements. The four agreements of being impeccable with your word. Do not take anything personally. Do not make assumptions, and always do your best. Which in closing, I want to tell you that we are responsible for what we are truly responsible for what we, when we say something, what people will pass on to someone else. So we have integrity with what we speak. Are we responding, or are we reacting? Or the question is, do we think we're responding, but we're really reacting? So that we constantly check ourselves, because that it comes from the inside, that we genuinely want to be a part of, and then grow this fellowship to and foster unity, so that what we're doing, which is the theme of the World Conference this year, the World Meeting, is that we're here for the person who's destined for us, hasn't found us yet. And so, you know, and there is a fifth agreement that came out, you know, that, and of course it's not an AA approved. It's, you know, you don't read about it word for word, but the idea, the conceptual idea behind each of these things that I've learned has impacted my sobriety. And that is to be skeptical. It's okay. You know, ask, so that we can, so I can know. And in our concept, you know, it says that, you know, we talk about trust, we talk about respect, and you may hear, but we need to earn it. Well, no, you earn it when you give it away. You don't earn it. You give it away, then you earn it. You know, it works like that. And I learned that in my personal recovery. So I think being having personal integrity, and the responsibility of our fellowship, and the we owe it's off to work I go, you know, and having that deep sense of giving back, and that greatest paradox of, in order to keep what I have, I must give it away. And we're talking about 12-step work. Being in general service is additional work. And with whatever circle of service you serve, to give that additional work, do it and do it because you want to do it. And if you don't know yet if you want to do it, jump in, because the chances are you're going to find out you love it. I'll close with this. I had a second sponsor, service sponsor, We were at the hackathon, at a marathon meeting one holiday, and he walked up to me and says, "I'm your service sponsor." I said, "I have a service sponsor." He says, "Now you have two service sponsors." I said, "Oh, okay." And he sent me off to do one task. He says, "I need you to read A Comes of Age, front to back. Don't
Great,
miss
yep,
it."
great book.
And he says, "When you're done, you'll understand. When you're done, you'll come away with one of two things: oh my God, or wow." And hopefully it's that wow because of all of the work that was done in the past so that I could be the beneficiary of what is here today. And that don't end there, Deborah, that you carry that same attitude into your life today to give back for what was freely given to you so someone who's not here yet can have the same opportunity that you've been given so freely. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'll say in closing, you are a shining example of that fitting yourself for maximum service and the 12-step responsibility that we all have of carrying the message. You do a wonderful job. But, you know, I've gotten to hear you some, talk with you a little and get to know you. And you're an inspiration. And I know everyone who hears from you, encounters you, feels the same way. I know that. It's an honor to work with you. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate your instant agreement and willingness to do this the day before one of our biggest shindigs and something I know you're slammed with. So that speaks to that willingness to serve and fitting yourself for maximum service. I'm sure I'm not the only one who really, really appreciates all you do for the fellowship. Thank you.
Thank you. And I appreciate everything you do and everyone that I get to serve. And, you know, stay. And remember, you know, I always say I owe. And I'm so glad. I am so glad to be a part of this great fellowship and the opportunity to give it away at any time. And thank you to all the past delegates who have been examples of the doers. You know, the doers. They're doing the footwork and the humility to say, okay, and I will do my best. And if they don't know, they've always said, but I will find out that answer for you. And as you know, I'm following behind. Thank you again, Michael. I truly appreciate you.
Thank you, Deborah. And I'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
Aloha.
Take care.
You
Aloha.
Too.